You are Locked On Vikings, your daily Minnesota Vikings podcast.
Part of the Locked On Podcast Network, your team every day.
Locked On Vikings on the Locked On Podcast Network. Welcome to this Tuesday edition, episode 315, on this November 21st day. Somehow we're still a month away from winter. The solstice is not until December 21st, and that only means the days are going to get shorter and it's going to get dark at 4 p.m. Nobody's looking forward to that, but the nice diversion is the Minnesota Vikings as they continue to roll. With week 11 now in the books, after Blair Walsh left a 52-yard field goal begging last night at the buzzer, the Seahawks lose, the Falcons win, putting a wrap on week 11. Seahawks and Falcons now belt 6-4, jockeying for that final playoff spot at the moment. Vikings play Atlanta 2 weeks from now, and they get to do so off a mini bye. Obviously, after the short week, they play Detroit, they take some time off, and then they come back and regroup. Not sure how well rested the Vikings will be in terms of injuries against these Lions, but against Atlanta, where they won 2 years ago en route to a division title, they might have guys back. Anthony Harris said yesterday in the locker room that he doesn't know about Andrew Sendejo's status, but I think everybody can have a lot more confidence in Anthony Harris, Ant Harris as he's called, after seeing what he's done this season. Try going back and thinking of a major error that Anthony Harris has made. Haven't been many. He's been solid in coverage. And he's been decent against the run. You know, there's that play against Gurley on Sunday where he cut off Gurley's angle. He penetrated into the backfield. And even though he didn't make the tackle, maybe you'd like him to wrap up and prevent the cutback by Gurley, he still forced him into the awaiting arms of Steven Weatherly, who also had a nice game in relief of Brian Robinson. So those two guys, replacing injured Vikings, have done well. And so has Rashad Hill. Their backup right tackle has played the part well. And I thought he may have even outplayed Reef in that last game. Reef had some plays where he was beaten, but then was bailed out by a scrambling Case Keenum or a quick throw. You gotta love what Hill's doing and how the Vikings identified last year. Just after one game watching Hill and the various practices they saw him in, that this guy was going to be good. And Rick Spielman alluded to this in training camp, that this team had young tackles they were excited about. We haven't seen Avion Collins yet, but clearly he is one of those guys too. And Hill has been very reliable coming on in relief. That's been huge. Remmers suffered a setback in concussion protocol between Thursday and Friday, so that gives him 6 days to bounce back from that setback, and it's already been basically 3 weeks with a concussion, so we might be waiting a while on Remmers. No, I don't know, and we'll find out today at 1 o'clock whether Remmers is practicing or not. Remember, he was limited last week with the concussion and then had a setback, so we'll have a decent idea today. And if I recall, in the past, when the Vikings have had Thursday games the past couple of years, it's been very hard for guys that were previously injured to come back and get healthy just for that game. Very little time to get up to speed in practice as well. Don't be surprised if Harris and Hill are once again suiting up in the starting lineup against Detroit. Let's think back to that Detroit game last Thanksgiving. After we all sat down in front of our TVs to watch the game, we watched Aretha Franklin for a half an hour, and then the game started. And I think it was the low point of the Vikings offense last year. Certainly one of them. Obviously the Colts game was terrible, but in a spot where the Vikings absolutely had to win, they still had a shot at the division championship, and they went into this game, and their game plan was ugly, conservative. They played for field goals in the second half instead of touchdowns. It was bad. And I've quoted this stat a couple times before, and I'll jog your memory. The Vikings were 2-for-10 on third downs in that game, and I believe the number is 7. They had 7 missed third downs on which they still completed a pass short of the sticks. 7 times that happened. And the 8th time was intercepted by Darius Slay when he trapped Sam Bradford. Great coverage, bad throw, Lions picked it off, and the Lions got the game-winning field goal from Matt Prater to win that game. They moved to 7-4, took a lead on the Vikes in the division. Vikes went on to lose the next Thursday as well, and their hopes of a division title were dashed. Sam Bradford had a minuscule 6.05 yards per attempt in that game. He was 31 of 37, but for 224 yards and an interception. There were no touchdowns in that game in the final three quarters. Defensive struggle. And that's been the case in Vikings-Lions games over the last 4 years. I mentioned this leading up to the Week 4 matchup, and the trend continued. The Lions have not scored 20 or more against Mike Zimmer in regulation. Only time they did exceed 20 was that overtime game last year at US Bank Stadium. But here are their final scores against Zimmer. 17, 16, 16, 19, 16 in regulation, 16, 14. So does Matt Stafford scare me? No. Nope, doesn't scare me. Didn't appear to scare the Vikings when they had Calvin Johnson. Hasn't scared the Vikings with Golden Tate, Marvin Jones, Theo Riddick, Abdullah, whoever. Minnesota's defense has had the Lions' number. Problem is, Lions' defense has had the Vikings' number even more. Here are the Vikings' totals with Mike Zimmer. 3, 14, 26, and 28. Their only two wins against the Lions under Zimmer. And then 16, 13, and 7. If you recall, earlier this season, the Vikings fumbled the game away. They led it halftime, 7-6. And then they had the quarter to end all quarters. Most notably, Dalvin Cook tore his ACL in the third quarter of that game. The Lions went down and scored. They turned it over on a wildcat fumble. Then in the fourth quarter, they were driving, threatening to tie the game. Case Keenum took a rare sack on third down and goal inside the five. He misread a coverage. Vikings went for it, didn't get it, got the ball back. Adam Thielen fumbled, game over. Terrible, terrible second half, though Vikings fans can perhaps take solace in the fact that they outgained Detroit in that game. They held the Lions to 154 passing yards. They sacked Matthew Stafford 6 times. They no longer have Greg Robinson at left tackle. Taylor Decker over there now. And Everson Griffin, always the straight shooter, he called Greg Robinson lazy before their Week 4 meeting, and that was proved to be correct in that they really tore apart that O-line, but and he doubled down on it yesterday. He said Greg Robinson was lazy, but now that he's gone, I like what Taylor Decker's doing. He's a hard worker, blah, blah, blah. And Decker's back from a shoulder injury. That's a big help for the Lions. He was activated just 10 days ago. Quick pause for a word about mybookie.ag. A lot of people solicit Sage's advice, my advice, when they're interacting with us about this show. And you know what? Our advice has been decent this season. Sage is 30 out of 44 in picks. I'm 28 out of 44 in picks. That's pretty good money line success. So if you'd like the picks we've been making, I would encourage you to investigate mybookie.ag because it's important where you're betting. And at mybookie, you can get free money. Use the promo code LOCKEDON for up to a 100% deposit bonus. There you go, right there. There are many online sports books, but mybookie gets my stamp of approval. And I don't give it out lightly, because to get my endorsement, I've got to respect what they do. And mybookie.ag is definitely the best sportsbook online out there. They've been in the business for a long time, really good reputation, 100% cash bonuses, and I've given you the information on how to acquire that. And once you win the money, fast payouts in your pocket. Just 2 business days. It's really not all that different from betting in a glitzy Las Vegas casino. Trust me, I was there recently. You can do it right from your smartphone. Go to mybookie.ag to place your bets. Tell them I sent you by using promo code LOCKEDON. Get over there, get the best odds anywhere. Detroit's passing game, normally very good. 6th in the league. 8th in yards per attempt. 19 passing touchdowns, 5 interceptions. They have taken the 3rd most sacks, however. They drop back a lot. The 11th most attempts in the league. And their running game is not very good. 28th in football. They haven't been able to get that going this season. And after watching the Vikings stuff the Los Angeles run on Sunday, that's a legitimately good running team. I'm not sure that Detroit's going to have much more success. That being said, Ameer Abdullah was ridiculous in that week four game against the Vikes. That might have been one of their best rushing games of the season, even though they only generated 97 yards. Abdullah went for 20 carries, 94 yards on the ground, and he had some slippery runs where Minnesota just couldn't tackle, something they're normally good at. They could not wrap up Ameer Abdullah. The crazy thing is that while Ameer Abdullah sliced and diced the Vikings in week four, he hasn't made any friends in Detroit. There's a columnist in the Detroit Free Press saying the Lions need to get rid of Ameer Abdullah. He's only rushed for 3.4 yards per carry this year. He has three touchdowns, less than 50 yards per game. Well, it's not like Theo Riddick's doing a whole lot else. And maybe the problem is that they don't have a great complement to Abdullah. He does seem like more of a complimentary back. He's more than McKinnon. They don't have a Murray. Maybe that's what Matt Asiata was going to be. Remember they brought in Matt Asiata for the preseason? Didn't go very well. Maybe they wish they had Matt Asiata. Who knows? But it's all about the passing game in Detroit. Golden Tate, Marvin Jones, both up over 600 yards. Both could threaten the 1,000-yard mark this season. Tate is one of the best yards-after-catch receivers in the NFL. Over half his yards have come after the catch. Marvin Jones actually isn't very efficient when thrown to. He's got just 38 catches on 72 targets, which is just over 50%. But he does have six touchdowns, and he has 12 plays of 20 yards or more. So that's pretty explosive. TJ Jones, Eric Ebron, Kenny Golladay, rounding out the Lions' passing game. This is a big game, folks. They say how the two-goal lead is the most dangerous in hockey. Well, the two-game lead in the division might be very dangerous right now for the Vikings. A win for the Vikings, the division is virtually theirs. A loss, and the lead is basically half a game, because Detroit would have the tiebreaker, and the Vikings would then be clinging to that lead as they go into two tough road games. Detroit would also be going on the road for two road games, but against far inferior competition, Baltimore and Tampa Bay. Interestingly enough, Detroit and Minnesota have basically identical finishes to the season. Vikings have Cincinnati, Green Bay, Chicago. Detroit has Chicago, Cincinnati, Green Bay. And both teams, I think, will be heavily favored in those games, assuming Aaron Rodgers doesn't make a return to face the Vikings and Lions. I'm telling you, it's these road stretches that are going to decide a lot of seasons for Detroit, for Minnesota, mentioned yesterday, for Philadelphia as well. The Vikings are 3-1 on the road. I think they need to win three of their final four if they want to attain their ceiling this season. You beat Detroit, you beat either Atlanta or Carolina, and then you beat Green Bay without Aaron Rodgers, hopefully. That's today's show, brought to you by MyBookie.ag. Play, win, get paid. Promo code LOCKEDON for up to a 100% deposit bonus. Lay your bets down, get in the game. Thanks for listening. Talk to you tomorrow.